There are things that we just don't want to talk about and things that we should do, but put off until the very last moment, which can often be too late, by the way. Estate planning falls into that category. Failure to address what is, well, the inevitable, like it or not, can leave all that you've worked for, all that you are responsible for in the hands of courts, state, federal governments, lawyers. Now, if that doesn't motivate you, then hopefully the findings of a study my next guest is here to share will. There's a little pun there, as you'll find out, too. The study is called the 2024 Wills and Estate Planning Study, compiled by Caring.com. We're joined now by their Senior Vice President, Suzanne Crawford. How are you today, Suzanne?
Excellent. Thank you.
Caring.com. And Caring.com is the website. We're going to learn more about the study that we are talking here, and really a wealth of information for you as an individual, and if you are caring for parents, older relatives. It's just a great resource of guidance, direction, and legitimate education information at caring.com. But as I said to you, also find the details about the study, the 2024 Wills and Estate Planning Study, which, Suzanne, I was shocked to find, with all the concerns about family and finances, all points in between, that only 32% of Americans have a will, and that's a pretty steep decline from 2023, down 6%.
Exactly. It's actually the first time we've seen the decline since 2020 in the pandemic, so very surprising.
What's the reason for this? Is it just as simple as people don't believe they have the need for a will, or is it more like I was referring to in the introduction, it's talking about that time we don't want to talk about, and if we don't want to talk about it, we're not going to prepare for it?
You know, we found the number one reason is still the number one reason, procrastination. A lot of that is avoiding the things that are uncomfortable, for sure. What we're seeing a big increase, though, is the percentage of folks that believe they don't have enough assets to really warrant a will. And although, you know, the inflation and economy is very heavy on, I think, many people's minds, what we're seeing is that that inflation can actually increase values and actually make it even more important.
And do people make a mistake, too, thinking a will is just to deal with things financial, where a will can and really should be a complete, I guess, monument to what your wishes, desires, and priorities are for when you do pass away, regarding everything, not just money, but property, assets, children, family, and whatever falls in between all those?
Absolutely. You know, things like people's digital legacy is a part of it, advanced directives for when bad, untimely things happen. Definitely for guardianship and the implications of not having a will, simply having to deal with probate. In New Jersey, the minimum probate is 9 months, often averaging more than a year, and can definitely get even more complicated without a will in place. So just even the ease that your loved ones would have after that and during that on time is really very important. It's really planning for the ease of your loved ones to deal with things and to make sure that your wishes are carried out. And many times we don't think about guardianship or even owning property and passing that along, especially with domestic partnerships. Without all of the right forms in place, sometimes certain things are not given that equal treatment, and definitely dealing with pets, children especially, and making sure that the things that are meaningful to you are passed to the people that will value those and you want to have those.
Here's a hypothetical, too, or more than a hypothetical. For some people, it's reality. You're an older person who has an older child with disabilities of one sort or another. Why wouldn't you want to leave directions and mandates of how that child is supposed to be cared for and treated after you're gone? And without a will, if I understand how probate works and how certain states more than others take part in all this, too, you can, an estate, for lack of a better phrase, Vince, there is no will technically, but an estate that goes without a will, the government, the state, and the feds can come in and just shave right off the top at a flat rate, irregardless of what the conditions and situations are. Is that correct?
Definitely. And, you know, more than likely it's policy that dictates those things versus even looking at the individual situations of the people involved. And that's where, again, yeah, you want to be able to plan what is important to you is carried out. And probate can, as we said, you know, take a minimum of 9 months and then go into years, especially dealing with things like guardianship.
Talking with Suzanne Crawford, Vice President of Caring.com, about the 2024 Wills and Estate Planning Study, which you could see and learn more about at Caring.com. And we'll get into some of the information that you'll find with Caring.com as well, because if you're in the age that's targeted by the information, you'll certainly find useful education there. If you're headed toward that way or caring for a parent, older relative, Caring.com is also a site you'll want to visit. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, the survey wasn't all bad news, because among young adults 18 to 34, there was no decline in estate planning there. And among African Americans, estate planning since 2020 now has increased by 19%. What is there any discernible reason for those increases, or is it just where the awareness fell, but just by happenstance?
What we found is within Black Americans, the increase was due to inflation, and that inflation increased the value of their assets, and they did want to make sure that those were passed along to their family members and treated in the way that they wanted. We also, with those young Americans, that 18 to 34 range, some of the biggest drivers of creating a will are things like a job change, getting married, having children, having some type of a health diagnosis, either personally or with an immediate family, and then even having to deal with some of these issues for their parents, for their grandparents, or their friends, dealing it with their families. So that's why I think we definitely still see a strong prevalence in young Americans, because they're going through a lot of those life changes. And I think COVID has been cited as another one. I think it brought our own mortality a little bit more present in our minds and wanting to make sure that we plan ahead.
One of the questions that's posed in the survey, what would motivate you to get a will? And it's broken down by gender as well, but I'll just talk generally, because trying to do numbers audibly can be ear-numbing from time to time. But as you would expect, the most motivating reason would be you're hitting retirement or some age milestone, 50, 60, 70, whatever the case may be. If you're really insecure, I guess 40 might be one of those too. The number that surprised me is only 19% of men, 16% of women said a medical diagnosis would compel them to get a will. I mean, if a doctor comes in and said, well, we'll get you out of this, but you're going to have a little risky health after this, and not even one out of five would say, yeah, I think I better start doing some estate planning here. That's really shocking.
And I think that lends itself to not feeling that their assets are of great enough value to warrant that. Because if you don't think you have enough assets, that diagnosis isn't probably going to spurn those same actions.
Right.
And that's where I think people are forgetting that it doesn't matter how many of the assets that you have. It really is more about, and this is what I think they don't think about ahead of time, is it's about making sure your loved ones are set up for an easier path afterwards.
Which goes back to what Suzanne and I were saying about a will addresses more than just the financial aspect of your life. One of the other responses, too, was surprising, and maybe if enough businesses see this, might compel them to make this an available benefit, too. 12% of men, 9% of women said if it was a benefit from the employer to have estate planning, will organization, that would compel them as well. That sounds like a simple step where, especially larger businesses, could really present this as an option for people that work for them.
Absolutely, because I think what that does is it combines the other two main reasons why people don't have a will is they don't even know where to start, right? What do I even do? Am I doing it right? As you mentioned, all states are different. Some states are fine with an e-will or an online. Some are not. And then also the cost. How much does it cost to set those things up? Even, you know, how and where to find a notary in today. So I think those, you know, when an employer can offer, here is a trusted source and we're going to assist or completely take care of that cost, you know, now the other two largest reasons for not having it done kind of disappear and are really able to help families long term.
Suzanne brought up a good point, too, because there are all of these e-legal company, LegalZoom.com, I'll mention just because that's probably top of mind. And they're great when it comes to setting up corporations, LLCs, but depending on the laws in your state, the will services they provide might not be adaptable or usable even in the state that you're in. So that's something, if you choose to go that way, something you really have to pay attention to if it is indeed going to be effective. Want to turn to your website, caring.com, because as I said, and I say here on the show a lot, information has tremendous value. And for our lady years in life, or as we head toward those lady years in life, that information becomes more and more vital. And with your homepage, just simply starting by entering your city and state or your zip code, that opens a great door right there for finding out more about what you probably don't know and need to know about things from in-home care to assisted living, independent living, nursing homes, hospice, all points in between, and then some.
Absolutely. You know, we are a very trusted source for many, many years. We actually just yesterday celebrated our 17th anniversary. And we want to be there from beginning to end and be able to assist people. You can pop on our site. We kind of do an estate planning 101 information as far as wills and trusts, the key documents, even questions to ask yourself and your loved ones, and then how to get started. And as people are navigating, we try to provide resources, as you mentioned, for senior care, senior living, and kind of senior well-being overall. And we know that that's really for the family just as much for the seniors. So I definitely encourage people to visit caring.com, and specifically you can put that /wills to get to the estate planning information. But we're there to be able to help people in all situations to figure out what is very best for their family in the future.
And when you think about that, for you listening with your will and your estate planning, the part about independent or managed care ties into what you would want to have as part of your will and your declaration of your intentions and your priorities should you become unable to communicate them, whether it's through affliction or through passing on. And I know I said it before, we don't want to talk about this, but I'm sure you've either had someone in your family, a friend, someone you work with, who also had someone in their life that didn't want to talk about that. Then the inevitable did happen. It was not a fun time for a variety of reasons, and the frustrating thing is it could be very easily avoided through estate planning and a will, which you can learn more about at caring.com/wills. And we put the link, of course, at our homepage as well. Caring.com, really a great resource in a variety of ways for our middle and our later years. We've been joined by their Senior Vice President of Caring.com, Suzanne Crawford. Suzanne, thanks for the awareness of how simple steps can make a huge difference in the stability of our lives and the lives of those around us. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.